Thank you, Anne. Would you rather be a bumblebee or the windshield of a car? I think it might be an easy one. I think that one. Yeah. And I apologize. I may be to Rob or someone. We kill a lot of your bees as you drive by your house. I mean, they just sprint into a windshield all the time. Good to be back. We have been gone for a while. We took 2 weeks to go to Alaska, and we saw some pretty amazing sights. We got up nice and close to a number of glaciers. We saw whales and puffins and eagles, and I went fishing and caught some salmon. And well, we just had a lot of fun. It was a good time. Saw some family and spent some time in Seattle, which is an interesting city if you've ever been there before. We spent a number of days there. And some of you are wondering what's happening with us. Well, we're going to be moving to Medicine Hat because obviously my wife is continuing her work. That's her third year as vice principal, but probably seventh year at the school, but third year as her vice principal. And so that's where we'll be moving. We'll be moving to Medicine Hat. And yeah, we'd love your help on Saturday if you got some of those wheelie things to carry the heavy boxes. That would be great. We're not moving any appliances because they all belong to the house. So that would be awkward if you came and we were moving the stove and the fridge out. That belongs here. We do have a couple baby grand pianos and a couple safes, but they're not very heavy at all. No, just mainly boxes and beds and stuff. So that would be wonderful. I have no plans. I'll likely finish my doctorate from Medicine Hat. I have to do some traveling to do that. And then I'll be doing some pulpit supply in the different areas around here. So that's kind of short term what our plans are. I'll continue to have office hours here. Make sure if you want to find me in the office, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Otherwise, give me a call. Half a day Friday, but if you need me on a Wednesday or something, just give me a shout or give the office a shout. You know, there's an old story about a preacher leaving a church. At his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage the secretary that looked very sad. She said, the person said, "Don't be sad. The next preacher might be better than me." But then Kathy replied, the secretary replied, "That's what they said before you came, but it just keeps getting worse." That's not very encouraging. I don't think it is. And we all need encouragement because life is tough enough. Sometimes you are the bee and sometimes you are the windshield. Life is challenging at times. We all need encouragement. We all need someone to lift us up. Now, maybe you know this story. It happened around 56 years ago, June 18th, 1956. A freak accident happened on a lake in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the water two of its passengers, a 50-year-old man and his little granddaughter. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head above the water while the boat circled back to pick them up. While they were able to rescue the girl, the man sank and drowned because in order to keep her head above the water, his head had to be under the water. Now, that's how Dawson Trotman died. And he was the founder of the Navigators, an international discipleship ministry, still exists today. And according to a quote from Time magazine describing this man's life, it said, "He lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it. In his obituary, someone wrote that he died just the way he lived, always lifting someone up." That's a legacy. To be known as someone who always lifted others up. Someone who was always encouraging others. One word of encouragement literally can inspire and physically help people. Now, a study was done not too long ago using children, of all people, to demonstrate what effect encouragement had on them. So these psychologists, they hooked up all sorts of wires and sensors to the children, and they proceeded to then use encouraging words and gestures on them, followed later by using discouraging words and gestures. What the study showed was that the children who were encouraged, their physical energy would increase. When they used discouraging words and gestures, the energy level of the children would drop immediately and dramatically. Then the same testing was applied to adults with exactly the same results. We all need encouragement. We all like to receive encouragement, because when we receive encouragement, we feel that others care about us. We feel validated. We feel valued. Let's pray. Father God, I ask you to let your scriptures come alive once more this morning. Something that was written thousands of years ago that is still with us today for various of different purposes and applications. And so today, Lord, let your words come alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. In your word, I do pray. Amen. We're going to do a four-part series closing out August here called Hello, My Name Is. And we'll be looking at four different New Testament characters or four people who were mentioned in the New Testament. Next week, we'll do a fellow by the name of Demetrius. The week after that, we'll do another fellow by the name of Trophimus. And then the last Sunday of August, we'll do Melchizedek, mentioned in Hebrews, but obviously was born during the times of the Old Testament. And the purpose of this series is to look at a characteristic that's found in each of these individuals so we can learn something and apply to ourselves. And so we're going to look this morning at one of the great encouragers in the Bible, and that's Joseph. Joseph. Now, as we prepare to read this morning's scripture passage, we must keep in mind that the church was still young when we read the scripture. It was in its infancy, it just begun. It just had gotten its start in Jerusalem. And all the churches were in one accord, so the scriptures tell us. The apostles were preaching and teaching every day, and more people believed that Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah. And they were placing their faith in him based upon what Jesus had done for them on the cross. They were a group of people who were excited and on fire for God. So on fire for God that they were selling their property in order to ensure everyone in the church could be provided for. There was one man, though, who was singled out for his generosity and encouragement of others. So let's read our scripture this morning. It's Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. It should be on the screen for you. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who is also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. His name was Joseph. But we don't know him, I don't think, by that name anymore. We know him by his other name, his nickname, if you will, Barnabas. Interesting, this is the last time that his proper name of Joseph is used in Scripture, because the apostles gave him this nickname and it stuck. Who here has ever had a nickname? Show of hands. A nickname that you can repeat. Yeah, what was your nickname? Way back in the sound booth, sir. Okay, good. Yeah, good answer. Yes, Mike. Is it appropriate? Big guy. That's a good nickname. Yeah. Mr. Dick. Anyone? Brother? Big Al. Big Al. Nice. Excellent. Anybody else? Yes. Jay. Is that your nickname?
That's my nickname.
There you go. Very, very good.
Henry.
Henry, yes. In fact, more and more people that I meet, the older, your generation, you don't really go by your birth name. I know Sherry's mom, her name is not Christine. She has a whole different name, but she calls herself Christine. I may regret this, but I had a couple nicknames growing up. My best friends gave me the nickname Sticky. Sticky. Yeah, I know. Some other people abbreviated to Stinky, but it was Sticky. It was Sticky. And partly it's because I loved eating ice cream sandwiches in particular, and it would always like melt and get all over my face and my fingers, and I'd touch papers and it'd be really sticky. But the other reason was I got the nickname is because I could be counted on to stick up for kids that were being bullied in school. And So that was, you know, I was okay with that nickname. A little later, I got another nickname while I was playing junior B hockey. The team called me the Sieve. I was the goalie. Not a very good nickname to have. You know, names had a meaning back in Jesus' day. And Joseph's nickname was Son of Encouragement, or Encourager. He would have worn that nickname, I think, as a badge of honor. Barnabas' character was as an encourager. And he was so well known by that name that they literally changed his name to Barnabas. Who he was and the innermost self was found in his nickname. And as you look through the New Testament, you will find everywhere that he went, Barnabas was an encourager. Acts 11, 22 to 24. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to what? To encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. The church was expanding and was now starting to reach the Gentiles. When the church in Jerusalem heard about this, guess what they did? They sent an encourager. They sent the encourager Barnabas. And everywhere Barnabas was present, you would find encouragement going on. And encouragement so strong that it actually led people to follow the Lord Jesus. Even when the Apostle Paul was angry with young John Mark and didn't want him to be part of his ministry team anymore, Barnabas chose to stay and encourage John Mark. Acts 15, 36 to 40. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So here we have Paul not wanting John Mark with them anymore because he saw John Mark as a quitter, one who wouldn't follow through on his commitments, especially in the area of Pamphylia. But what Barnabas saw was a young man who simply needed encouragement. And you know, his encouragement worked. This young man we call John Mark, well, we know that he wrote the gospel that we call the Gospel of Mark. So this episode between Paul and Barnabas happened around 50 to 52 A.D., and the Gospel of Mark was written somewhere around 64 A.D., according to most biblical scholars. So something happened in those 12 to 14 years to bring John Mark from being a young man that wasn't committed to one that wrote boldly about the life and purpose of Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you exactly what happened because I wasn't there. But we do know that Barnabas played a huge role in his maturing simply by not abandoning John Mark. Instead, Barnabas encouraged John Mark and spent a valuable resource on him. And that was time. He spent time with John Mark. He saw value in John Mark. And so he spent a valuable resource, his own time. You know, God wants us to share in this characteristic of Joseph's, to be a Barnabas, to be an encourager. Parakletos is the Greek word we translate into encourage. It means to call to one side, to comfort, to console, to strengthen. So it's more than just a slap on the back and a well done here and there. Periculo means to walk side by side in sickness, in health, in death, in wealth, in financial crisis, in joy, and in sadness. It means to share life with one another as a way to support and strengthen. It means pouring one of our most valued resources into other people, our time. It means to do what we can to strengthen one another instead of tearing one another down. And one way we could do this is through our spoken words. It doesn't do much just to think good thoughts about a person. We need to communicate with people in order to encourage them. We need to learn to speak words that encourage each other. Acts 13:15. After the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message: "Brothers, if you have any words of encouragement for the people, come and give it." So the religious leaders, as part of the Sabbath service, they would read from the books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament. They would pray. They would sing, kind of more like chanting, actually. And then they would give a short challenge or meditation. It's not too unlike what we do here in North America. But they also set time every service for encouragement, for just standing up and calling people out and saying, "Let me encourage you, brother. Let me encourage you, sister." You know, that's sorely lacking maybe in our church. Maybe we in North America ought to we look at something like that and add that as a component to some of our church services. You know, and in this instance, the leaders asked Paul and Barnabas, who had just arrived in Antioch, to be the ones to come and give words of encouragement to the church. Wherever Barnabas went, he looked to encourage. We all look for those types of words of encouragement in our lives. Words that will build us up. Words that will help us in times of despair and trouble. Words that will help us stay the course when times get tough. And words that affirm that what we are doing is the right thing. And so while we need to speak words of encouragement, I think it's easy to speak words of discouragement. It's easier to put someone down than build them up. And Scripture warns us about this repeatedly. In James chapter 3, verses 2 to 6, we see the brother of Jesus, James, writing, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we can control our tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire." So the words that we choose to use are so important. And yes, like James says, we all make mistakes. We all say things that we regret. We can't take back because once they're out, it's hard to get them out of your ears and out of your brains. We've all have fallen prey to that. But we need to think and speak slowly. Ephesians 4:29, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." So we must be careful not to let our words discourage. Now, our culture today has a new phenomenon that wasn't present in Jesus' day: social networking, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or as I like to call them, TwitFace, UBook, and FaceTube. I mean, there are many, many other sites like these, and all of them are remarkably easy to use. And love it or hate it, this has become the main mode of communication in our world today. And as helpful as they can be, they're also very dangerous. They're fraught with danger. Dangerous because false information can be spread so quickly. Some leader in the States likes to call it fake news. But also dangerous because once written, you can't take those posts down off of Facebook and Twitter. I mean, yeah, you can delete them, but they stay out there in that thing called the cloud forever. Many people have lost jobs, spouses, and friends because of what they wrote or said on these social networking platforms. They found it easy to vent and say discouraging things on them. So let me encourage you to think carefully what you speak through writing in this medium. Use this technology to encourage and build people up, not to tear people down and discourage them. It's interesting, before social networking became a huge phenomenon, we used to have these things, what are they called? Newspapers. We used to have newspapers. And I heard a preacher once say, talking on a similar subject, he said, what I like to do is I like to pray through the headlines. What do you mean, sir? What do you mean, pray through the headlines? He says, I dig every headline. Most headlines are very negative. And he says, instead of getting angry about them, angry at what's happening in the news, angry at our leaders, I take those headlines and I put a positive spin on them by praying for those that are being affected in a positive way. So for instance, if we were to pray our headlines, we would be praying for our prime minister, which we do. God bless you for that. We'd be praying for those that were affected by the mass shootings in El Paso. We'd be praying for the people who did the shooting. Not praying blessings upon them, obviously, but praying perhaps that they would meet the resurrected Jesus while they're in jail, if they're still alive. I don't know how that story ended, to be honest. We could be praying for the two young lads from BC who are obviously emotionally mixed up and have caused a lot of danger as they have been fleeing across the country, causing mayhem as they hide from the police. We could be praying for... The idea is, don't be so discouraged and angry at these things, thus poisoning our own souls. Instead, turn it around and pray good things. Pray for them in a positive way. Not so much, Lord, strike vengeance upon them, but Lord, let them be found and let them be rehabilitated. One of the reasons I don't like the death penalty, and I have, and again, you know, I have a brother-in-law in prison, and many in our family would have liked to seen him executed because he took the life of one of our loved ones. But I never believed in the death penalty, because as soon as you take that person's life, you've taken away their ability to hear the gospel of Jesus and to be saved. And we're going to talk about that next week a little bit more. So encouragement must be spoken. It's got to fill our mouths. It can fill our pages of technology with words that comfort, uplift, and inspire. But we also need to encourage with our actions. When it comes to encouragement, actions truly do speak louder than words. Acts 9, 26 to 27. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. I wonder why. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Paul, the soon-to-be apostle, was still going by the name Saul. And his name, to the people who heard it, meant persecution. It meant death. Well, you know the story. I know the story. He was saved on the road to Damascus, and he answered God's call to preach and teach others about Jesus. The trouble was that he was so well known as a persecutor of Christians that people were scared to even be in his presence. They didn't see him as a follower of Jesus. The Christians in Jerusalem were afraid of him. They thought maybe he was trying to trick them. So Barnabas, the encourager, took Paul, the soon-to-be apostle, and stood up for him. He told the crowd of Paul's conversion and how he personally had heard Paul preach the gospel of Jesus. Think what might have happened had Barnabas not stood up for Paul, taken him by the hand, and encouraged him to go see the apostles. It would have been easy for Paul to say, you know what, these people don't accept me, this is too hard. Maybe I don't belong here. But Barnabas, through his actions, encouraged and strengthened Paul in his faith and in his reputation. You see, Barnabas's actions matched his words. In this same way, our actions need to match our words if we are truly to encourage people. People need a warm touch sometimes. Someone just to wrap their arms around them and to hold them. No words necessary. Just the action of comforting and encouraging. I've had times of discouragement. I've had a bad week or two in my life. And you know what? I have been blessed. Been blessed by getting a card or two in my mailbox. Or someone just dropping by and just wanting to sit and have coffee. No special occasion necessary. Just to encourage me. Man, those things have encouraged me beyond belief. And so for those that were involved with that during the 4 years here, I just really want to thank you. You may not even knew what God was doing through you. So while words are comforting, I realize that it took an effort from these people to do these actions of encouragement. But you know, most of all, people need our prayers. What an act of encouragement it is just to pray for someone. Let them know that you are praying for them, and then do it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and it's the gospel truth. I wouldn't tell you unless it was. For the last 4 years, give or take a day or two when I forgot or slept in or something got in my way, I've gone up my prayer list for this church, and I have prayed for all of you, 10 people a day, every day, for almost the last 4 years. And I know how much prayer can encourage people. And I know you've been praying for us. And what an encouragement that has been, knowing that we've had your prayers on our backs. The folks, not to call one section of people out over another, but just as a way of an example, we know that the folks in the lodge, the Newbrook Lodge, because they tell us, they pray for my wife. Some of our dear saints get up around the same time my wife does when she drives into work in the darkness of the winter, and they've prayed for her. Wow, what a blessing. What an encouragement. She's never had an accident. She had a couple close calls, but God has always brought her back home. So let me encourage you today. Encourage one another through your words. Encourage one another through your actions, and encourage one another through your prayers. So I encourage you this day to be an encourager. Lift each other up. Encourage your friends. Encourage your neighbors. Be a Barnabas. You never know how God will use your encouragement. You may never know that. But you can know this. God will always use your encouragement to his glory. Let's pray. Father God,